Hey, and welcome back to a new episode of Sassy Single Moms. My name is Winnie.
I'm Red.
And we're here with our special guest, Eliana. Hey, Eliana.
Hi, you're right.
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm nice and chilled out.
Nice. Saturday night, just hanging out.
Yeah, definitely.
It's your baby free, is it?
Yes, I've been doing DIY today. I'm having some me time. I'm literally loving life.
Nice. Well, we're really excited to be speaking to you today because on today's topic, we're going to be talking about
the drum roll.
Yeah, the drum roll. Oh my God. It's like the most talked about thing when it comes to single parenting, which is co-parenting. Oh, the nightmare that is co-parenting. Sometimes I just feel like, can I not just take my child and just like be done with you?
Yeah, 100%. That's what happens when you exit a relationship, but as when you're co-parenting with someone, you still have to deal with that person when you have a child with them.
Yeah,
exactly. So as a starting point, how about we just all talk about our experiences?
So my experience is like just not been good, if I'm going to be really honest.
What's not been good about it?
The fact that, like, I basically co-parent with someone who's, like, really high fucking conflict. And I just feel like no matter what I do, like, there's not... I just envy people who, like, co-parent with, like...
Reasonable people.
I literally feel like nothing I do is ever good enough. No matter how much I can't... If I try and... take the road where I'm like really kind and always trying to be the bigger person, that backfires because then that gets seen as weakness. And then if I try and be really assertive and strong and lay down my boundaries and not have any fucking shit, that backfires too, because then it gets twisted that I'm just being like, it is literally like just there's no winning with it. It's difficult.
Do you feel like you're co-parenting with someone that actually is not interested in having a good co-parenting relationship with you?
1,000%. Yeah, like, it's sad, really, because that is the way it is. Do you know what I mean? But, like,
you're trying to get to that mutual place where you're both actively trying to do what's best for the child.
Yeah.
But then it gets to the point where you're like, you don't get it. Like, you actually don't get it. This is no longer about us. This is about the child.
Yeah.
And I think it's so easy in co-parenting relationships for mostly the men to internalize it and just be like, oh, you know, you broke up with me, you don't want to be with me. Yeah. It's like, but you have a child, you know, like forget about me. You have a child. You have somebody else who's relying on you a lot more than I've ever relied on you or I've ever needed you to do stuff. And I think that's the most important message that needs to like come across, or that women have to kind of hurdle through, get to, in order to get to that place. But 100%. Before we get on to the next part, Red, what's been your experience co-parenting?
So it's been really, really, really tough. Like, we have, I mean, I won't even go into every single thing because that would take like a whole episode.
As it does.
Yeah, but it's been really tough. Me and my dad have had quite a volatile sort of relationship. I mean, things have got, we split up when Tig was like 3 months old, and Tig is like 3.5, nearly 4 now. And I think things have stabilized, but only because I've changed my mentality on the situation. Yeah. So I've just now accepted the fact that I'm actually co-parenting with someone that is difficult. And I think is like, does have
an illness.
Yeah, an illness. Yeah. I do believe he's a narcissist. And I look at that as a mental illness. Yeah. And you've got to remind yourself that you're not dealing with someone that wants the same things as you.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I've reached a stage in my co-parenting now where I've set up a lot. Whoa, the boundaries are at the sky. Like, it's very, very hard for him to even slip things in with me because my boundaries with him are so firm now.
It's like, I don't fuck with you.
Yeah.
Like,
I was trying to say like I don't fuck with you, like, but in a nice way. But I do not
fuck with you.
And I've said to him, and I know they say that you should never tell a narcissist that they are a narcissist. No, I have. I said to him, I see you. I know what you're doing.
You know, you have to hold them accountable. Like, you do have to ignore certain things, but there gets to a point where it's like you do have to fucking call them out and be like, do you know what? Like, I see you for what you are, darling. Don't you worry.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. And we've kind of gone into it now, but I think we should all just take this opportunity to like think and discuss like what is going wrong. Like, what is the problem here? Is it just that women are having children with narcissists? Is it that these men are just like purely irresponsible and don't want to take any responsibility? Is it a character flaw? Like, what do we think is going on?
Can I just say, that this is something that my nan said to me. So like, and my nan is so wise, like she's lived so much life. And when I was started telling her about all this mad things that were going on with my son's dad, and she always obviously thought he was really nice, she said to me, she goes, Red, I didn't want to say this to you before to scare you.
That is so funny.
Men, when you have a child with a man, she said, it comes into his head. That was my nan's advice. She said, apparently something happens inside a man's brain when he has a child with you that he feels like in a sort of caveman subconscious way.
Yeah.
That he is in control of you, that he owns you. That's what my nan says anyway.
So true.
For a moment. So, Eliana, when you realise that clearly your ex-partner had some issues and you weren't happy with it, you said that you took him to family courts. What was that process
he
like?
He took me to family court.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was the same with me and Tigster.
Tell us more.
So this is a thing that people get wrong. Like, I had a load of people who would say to me, oh, my God, like, he must really want to see his child because he's taking you to family court. And I'm like, no. If you go and you look into this stuff, this is like a textbook thing. Like, of course they take you to court because they want to look good to their friends, they want to look good to their new partner, they want to look like the doting dad. You've got to remember, their life is a circus. They need to be like the hero in everyone's story, in their own story. So of course he's gonna take me to court. He's not gonna abandon his kid and have everyone looking at him like he's a scumbag, is he?
Can I just say what's so funny you say in that, and I'll just share what's something that his dad has said to me. When things were so bad with me and Ty's dad, and I just didn't even see him, I just saw him as wanting to wind me up all the time. I didn't even see him on Tig. So I remember saying to him once, I was like, oh my God, like, this is so, things have got so terrible. I don't know why you don't just go your own way and like just forget about me and Tig. And I said, keep your money, because we were going through child maintenance. I said, keep your money. I said, I don't want any money from you. Just stay away from us. Like, why don't you just do that?
Yeah.
And rather than turn around and say, are you crazy? This is my son. I love my son. He said to me, you'd love that, wouldn't you? All your friends.
That's exactly what George had to say.
I remember thinking it at the time. What an odd thing.
Yeah, do you know what George's dad said to me once? He must have been like 2 or 3. And then he come to get George. And then I can't remember what happened. And we ended up having like a little bit of a, I wouldn't say argument, because we've never, like, we don't really do that in front of George. Well, I wouldn't anyway. But so I can't remember what got said. But anyways. And then he was like, oh, yeah, you see, you're lucky that in court we didn't go to the fact-finding hearing because you...
He was like,
because you would have got ruined. You would have seen what I said about you. And I'm like, and I said to him, like, I turned around and I said to him, I was like, why is it about winning? Was you not there just to get, like, just to keep, like, just to get peace and get to see your son? Like, why are you coming at me like we're playing a game of football? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, this is... my child's life, our child's life, this is my life. Like, I'm looking after our child. Like, do you not, as a human being, as a man who wants to protect women, protect your child, you know, and be a lover, not a fighter, just want to, like, what? And then it just, even then, it just, like, dawns on me, like, how hateful, how much, much you hate yourself to be coming at a woman and a child like that. Like, that I could have ruined you in family court. Like, you're not well. Like, you're literally coming at vulnerable people right now. Do you know
what I mean? An example of him not just concentrating on his co-parenting, of him trying to ruin your mentality and affect where your head's at.
Yeah, you should be just focused on getting your son, seeing him. But exactly, like you said, Red, it comes back to me. Do you know what I mean?
And they do that, like, I think from my own experiences, it's like they try to make you seem like you're the problem. It's like, oh, you do this and you do that and you're not a good enough mother and you're not, you know, you're not doing all the things that you need to do. And it's just like, fuck you. Like, I'm up every day. I'm doing work. I'm looking after the child. I go to the parents' evenings. I take them to school.
You know what I said to my mom? I'm raising them. Do you know what I said to my mum the other day? I said, and I don't know, Red, if you or Winnie, you can relate to this, right? But, like, Georgie's dad, let's just say I could have a conversation with him about something and I could be acting really like just normal, trying to be reasonable, being like my best co-parenting self on the phone. Mm. He'd get off the phone and probably like whoever he's sitting with be like, oh yeah, she just said this, this and this, and completely change the narrative. Do you know what I'm saying? Like just change the narrative. Like I do believe that these sort of individuals, and it's really important that women understand this, and I hope it validates someone out there. They can literally change realities. Like they will change their own reality and everyone else's reality around them. And it's really important that you don't let it change your reality and have you second guessing yourself.
And what's so funny is as well, I mean, I experienced the same thing as like, because Tide's dad is like narcissist as well. And it's so funny, he told so much lies about me, I was laughing so much, Rob, I couldn't believe it. He gets confused now, the amount of lies he tells about me, between what's the truth and what's not. And there was one time during the beginning of the pandemic, he said he didn't want to see Tide because of everything that was going on, and he was scared.
Yeah.
So he didn't see Tide for like 12 weeks.
Scared of what? Scared of your own child?
No, I don't know. He was scared. And then I found out else that he was like going and still living a normal life and partying to all this stuff. And I messaged him and said, you can collect your son tomorrow because I know what you've been doing. And he said, okay, fine. And then he said to me, you stopped me from seeing my son during this pandemic.
Oh my God.
I said, you told me you didn't want to see him, but I know now that's what he tells other people.
Yeah, right.
And he's so used to saying it. He actually said it to me.
He believes
he's so used to it.
Gaslighting. It's right. When you believe something so much, they honestly feel like it's the truth.
So basically with Georgie's dad, like obviously when we broke up when he was 3 months old, because he was literally so like nasty to me. Like what woman after you've been like 3 month old child, you've broken up and then like especially for like physical reasons and other abusive reasons. Do you know what I mean? I didn't see no other solution. So it was like, right, like you can't see George now. It was for my own well-being. It was not what I wanted. I tried to get him to give me structured times. He had refused. So I was now backed into a corner to do what was right for me and my baby. So then obviously he started the court process like 6 or 7 months later, but he still walks around telling everyone that I stopped him seeing his child when his child was a baby. Not that he, not that he literally dragged me around his mum's front room when he was 3 months old, that he like used to like basically refuse to give George back to me while he was like breastfed. Like they literally alter realities. Like it will leave out all of the parts and like avoid taking any
account. Their own story.
Yeah. And in his mind, what he tells everyone else is, she stopped me seeing my child because she is so like such a horrible person. Not like a normal man. Like, do you know what? I acted in so many vile ways that that poor girl, she had a 3 month old baby. She saw,
they never do.
She saw no other way but to be by herself with that baby. Do you know what I mean?
It's actually all about how they appear to others. They base their entire identity. It's not on what goes on inside, it's on how they appear, and that's their truth. Yeah. And and I think for anyone listening to this who potentially is experiencing the same thing or beginning to think they might be co-parenting with a narcissist, Winnie, we looked up some signs, didn't
we? Yeah, we did.
For people listening,
So
we will read. Do you want to read?
Yeah. So one of them was lack of empathy for others. So I guess how does that show up? So I think lack of empathy can show up when people aren't conscious, like when they don't put themselves in your shoes.
Mm. Yeah. And as a co-parent, I think a sign which I've noticed as well, it's lack of sort of empathy for you as a parent.
Yeah, and everything you're going through. Yep. I think I've experienced that. It's like, you know, you do the parents' evening, you do all of the stuff, but it's never like they never.
Never good enough.
You wake up in the morning, you do all of this work. It's like, no, I'm doing this, but it's never like, oh, thank you. It's always like, well, you didn't do good enough. Oh, well, you know that,
like
that
nothing you do is good enough, and
it's not good enough.
A lack of empathy.
Absolute lack of empathy. That's one. And then it says inflated sense of importance. So it's like my son's dad thinks he's like the most important person. And I'll give you an example. So 2 weeks ago, my son wanted to get his hair cane rolled. And obviously my son's 14 and we live in a culture now where it's like, you know, hip hop artists have their hair done, boys have their hair done, because, you know, we're living in the 21st century and yeah. people are allowed to be who they are.
Exactly.
So Ty came to me and he was like, oh, can you do my hair? I want you to do my hair. And at first I was like, oh my God, this fucking boy wants to get his hair done. Like, yeah. I didn't want to do it. Of course I didn't want to do it. I was like, can you not just get it cut? But I was like, you know what? He's experimenting. He's getting to know himself. So actually I can do hair, and it's like, it's bonding time for us, and it's good for me to like do his hair. So I did his hair, and then his father calls me and was like, why did you cane roll his hair? I don't like it. I don't think it looks good. I. Am
I? That is always what it is. It's always, it's like they're the baby of the fucking...
Honestly. And I'm like, hang on a minute. Didn't you cane roll your hair when you were a teenager? And he's like, yeah, but I don't like it. I.
Yeah.
And I
was just like... I. Yeah.
Honestly, and that's all I heard. I just had I after another. And I said to him, I was like, listen, Ty's experimenting. He's going to get over it. He's going to take out his hair. Everything's going to be okay. I'm like, why are you calling my phone and trying to dictate and tell me what you like or what you don't like? And more importantly, it's like, he's going to get over it. Like, why don't you speak to him? And I said to him, and I was like, why don't you speak to him and be like, hey, what do you think about your hair? How do you keep that in for? What hairstyle? Like, why don't you do that? And then try and figure out where he's coming from.
Yeah.
What do you think I'm going to do? Rip it out of his hair and be like, oh, your dad doesn't like it. Yeah. So, you know, we're not going to do this. So, yeah, I feel like that whole sense of, like, importance. Like, you can call my household. Yeah. You haven't given me any money in the last 2 months, 3 months, whatever.
Yeah, oh, but my God.
I feel like you can call my phone and tell me. What I can and cannot do. Is like, you have an inflated sense of importance.
Yeah, 100%. I can really relate to that. Not gonna lie.
What's your examples been? How's it like shown itself?
So my George is 4. He turned 4 in December, and I said that I was gonna get rid of his dummy like before 4, but it's just gone on and on and on a bit. Anyways, he went to his dad's one weekend, and then his dad took his dummy away from him, and then he slept. Yeah. Do you know what? I don't agree with it, but he did what he did, and it's fine. Do you know what I mean? It weren't the end of the world, because his dummy did need to go. And then when he got home, his dad said to me, like, you know, the dummy's gone now. And then I was like, cool, that's fine. And then he started not having his dummy. Then, cut a long story short, one night we had a couple of really bad nights where he was waking up in the night and stuff, and he was like really unsettled. And one night, it was like the middle of the night, I just caved and I gave him, I found an old dummy, like running through a kitchen like cupboard in the middle of the night, and I found this fucking dummy, like, thank the Lord, and I gave him the dummy. So I just kind of, so George started having his dummy again, but I just didn't tell his dad, because me and him hadn't really like spoken in a few days, and I just didn't want to like, I'm not going to go out my way to call him and be like, hi, by the way, George has a dummy.
And you don't have to justify everything.
I do everything. I don't have to justify it. Exactly. And then, cut a long story short, a few weeks later, his dad like phoned up, and then saw George with the dummy, and like just started going like fucking like ballistic. And it was just very much like, I, like what you're saying. Like, it was all about, oh, I made this decision and you're nasty because you went behind my back, and you're encouraging George.
Behind my back.
And I was literally like, look, number one, I don't have to justify or go behind your back, darling, like, you're not
bad.
Secondly,
I was just to say, you like changed the boy's name.
Secondly, like, it's just a fucking dummy, like literally, like, fill your fucking beans, like,
and it's comforting for him, and it's what you're doing so that you can get a night's sleep. If you're
in a lockdown, and at the time it was like Christmas holidays, and I thought to myself, mate, like, would you like to give up, you know, would you like to like give up your comforts right now over Christmas? Would you like to stop drinking or do it or eating or doing all the things that you love doing right now? No. So why do you expect our 4-year-old to do it? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. There's no empathy. There was no empathy to his child, and all the importance was on him and how we'd inflicted harm on him. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. And I think it's so weird because they don't put themselves in the child's shoes.
No,
it's
similar to what I was
saying about my son's dad. Like, why don't you just go speak to him?
Exactly.
Why don't you go and be like, hey.
And so also, don't shout at your child's mother.
How long do you want to do this for? Like, just go and, like, put yourself in their shoes and stop thinking that you know everything. You have all the answers. And
but
all
again,
stuff.
It leads back to the first sign of a narcissist, which is lack of empathy.
Lack of empathy, exactly. And that's what I said, Brad. It was like he couldn't empathise at that time with George or what I was going through, having to wake up in the night, being in the lockdown, and then, like, or even shouting at me on FaceTime in front of our child. Like, there's just no empathy there. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, that's terrible, honestly. These guys, the whole narcissistic characteristic,
wild.
It's not always just like in men and fathers, it can show up in so many ways. And then the next thing that it says is like a deep need for excessive attention and admiration.
And I feel like you touched on that as well, Liana, in the way that he will kind of say that you've done things in your parenting that you haven't done to make him to get attention almost for himself.
And in terms of attention, one thing that I learned like a long time ago really was with these people, whether it's positive attention or negative attention, they want attention. Last year, me and Georgie's dad, we got on a much more civil level. Like, obviously, there was a pandemic. He had another child, and I bought them a gift. So I just thought, you know what? Everything's squashed. Like, this is good. He, like, offered to bring me some shopping during the pandemic. So I just thought, you know what? This is good. And then, like, we would chat sometimes and all of that. And then every now and again, like, his little mask would slip. And I remember him one day saying to me, I love it when you get angry with me because it makes me feel loved. And then, you know what? I already knew it anyway, but it just clicked that day that it's like, do you know what? Whether you're getting negative attention or positive attention, it makes you feel so, like, that is what you base your self-worth off. Do you know, it's really annoying. It's also really pitiful. Like, imagine a person that the only way you can feel good as a person is, like, by what other people are thinking and feeling about you.
And does that make you, knowing that he, that's where he bases his value of, like,
How he bases his value of himself, of how much can I stress out my child's mother. Like, that makes me feel really good. And it just put into perspective, like, how much you do. In a way, I know that these sort of people frustrate you so much, but at the same time, they are such lost little souls, lost beings. And I don't want to, like, feel sorry for them or justify
them. You have to look at it in that way.
Because when you actually put into perspective, it's like, I don't base how I'm feeling off what other people are feeling about me. Like, that is a whole different level of freedom. Do you know what I mean? I've got the ability to reach, like, complete enlightenment and a different level of contentment. But these people, they can't. Do you know what I mean?
Do you ever worry that this sort of behaviour from him would potentially rub off on George?
100%. I even messaged you the other night. I was like, do you know what? Like, I see a lot of, like, little ways in George, but I've done a lot of, like, kind of research and reason into it, and I have to look at it in a way, like, look, George is with me, like, 80 to 90% of the time. As long as his boundary is firm here, his life is healthy here, then that is all that matters. And with you, Red, as well, you've introduced someone new to Tyag. And you even said it to me the other day, like, Rob's a very, like, healthy man. Your relationship is very healthy. And with Tyag as well, like, he will always have, like, he will always be able to, like, compare and see the difference between Rob and someone new. And that's what it'll be like with me one day. I haven't introduced anyone yet to George, because we're not at that point yet. But when I do, it'll be the same. It'll be like, okay, like, look, he is what he is. I can't control it. But at the end of the day, the only thing I control is the environment that George grows up in. And that's who I date, who I end up with, how I am, my parenting with him. And as long as that is, like, solid, then it takes my worries away, if that makes sense.
And I think I said this to you before as well when we spoke about it the other day. Like, even if, you know, I mean, me and Rob wouldn't break up anyway.
No, but even if Rob did break up
and I met someone else, to me, it's about always showing that example. It doesn't need to be
healthy love.
Showing that example of what a healthy relationship looks like. And that's what I want Tig to be able to see. Not saying that, because I do believe that Tig and his dad do have a good relationship.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
But another sign of a narcissist is they do, because they do always exhibit this behaviour, they unfortunately do always have very turbulent relationships.
100%.
And that is a sign of a narcissist, because they don't have a healthy relationship with themselves.
Yes.
So they are therefore unable to have a healthy relationship with you as a co-parent, with their partner, with probably their family members. That's another sign as well.
Everything
is broken. Even though I don't know what goes on, I know what happened with me, and I assume that that same behaviour is being repeated. And as long as Tig can see what a healthy relationship is, then
it's an important part.
Sorry, go on.
No, I was just going to say, I couldn't agree more, because I think with my son, what I've tried to avoid doing is like speaking badly of his dad.
Yeah.
Like, because my son's 14, so for a very long time, I broke up with my son's dad when he was like 1.5. And that's because I completely sussed him out within that first year and a half.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Willie, go far, as far away as you fucking can.
Yeah.
And because I knew that, and I just kind of kept it to myself, I never spoke about it. And I just allowed my son to figure it out for himself, because a lot of these characteristics, you can't hide them and they can't really, like, it always comes out. So I always just left it for a really long time. So now my son comes to me and he's like, oh, dad didn't do this, dad didn't do that. And I'm like, oh, really? No. Like, I know.
Yeah,
and I'm kind of glad in a way that he's starting to see him for who he is and like how he acts as a person. But yeah, they do reveal themselves. They definitely do, and I think they do even to their kids.
I think I've even experienced like jealousy with George's dad, his dad being jealous of him at times.
Yes, yeah. Oh my God.
Especially at times when me and him have been quite friendly with one another, and then we've been like chatting on the phone, and then I've been like showing George a lot of affection, and then he'll be like, all right, like stop creaming his ass and all this. And
it's a real thing.
How does a mother cream their child's ass? Like, I'm not talking about like friends who I just met yesterday. Like, this is my son.
Yeah, I'm his mum. Like, I'm the only person he has, and I have
I'm showing him affection, darling. And then like I started googling it, and I was reading up about it, and it's really fucking common, like, for men to be quite jealous of their sons. And like, and like, even though we're not together, I can tell he gets like jealous in that way, like of like George getting the attention, XYZ. And it's very,
That's definitely,
you know what? I must say, like, this journey of co-parenting is a very weird one, but I'm so glad that there's other people now talking about it, because it just shows that it ain't just me. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, and I think we all need to like push forward and talk about our experiences 100%. And share with each other. And yeah, because I think so many people go through this and we just don't talk about it.
100%.
What are some of the solutions? What are some of the things that you've done differently, Eliana? So once you understood the kind of characteristics of your son's dad, what did you change? What did you do differently? And what would you want other mums to do as well?
So what I'd want other mums to do is shift the focus to yourself. Shift your focus to leveling up your life. Shift the focus to everything you can control. Obviously, with someone you co-parent with, you can't just wash your hands with them. And I would say just keep contact to a minimum. Just keep it to a minimum, and just do your best to, like, every time if you find yourself thinking of how much they're an absolute idiot, and it's natural, don't get me wrong, I don't want to shame anyone for thinking that the person they co-parent with is a dickhead, because if someone is a dickhead, they are a dickhead. And it's normal to feel angry about that. But what you need to do in those situations is always bring the focus back to yourself. Like, okay, cool, that's what they are, detach, and then focus on what you're doing next in your life. And as long as you always keep the focus on yourself and bettering your life, you will eventually get to a point where you're like, do you know what? I'm so happy with my life. I've done so many good things. I'm in such a happy place that I don't even fucking, I pity this person.
Yeah.
I can't even be angry anymore. Like, this person just pities me. Obviously, it will come in waves. You'll go through that, and then there might be time to do something, and you'll get pissed off again. But it's okay to be angry. Like, one thing with me is my son's father, like, would always like try and shame me for being angry. Like, oh,
yeah, try and make it seem like you're that crazy person.
Hold on a minute. I'm angry because you've crossed the line. I'm angry because you're taking this. I'm angry, and I'm allowed to be angry. Like, any normal person would be angry because I'm sticking up for myself, not just trying to attack you. I'm literally defending myself against your abusive little self. Do you know what I mean?
Mm. Absolutely.
I just think for any women out there, like, always, like, go with your gut. Don't ever feel gaslighted or, like, you know, your reality isn't your reality, and just keep working on yourself, because the more you work on yourself, the more you'll feel happy in your life, and you'll just get to a point where you're like, do you know what, I literally pity this person and anyone.
And you don't need them.
Yeah, I don't need them. Yeah, my life is, like, 10 times better without them.
And the moment you don't need them, that's when they come running. That's when they're trying
to. It's like they sense it. They literally have a fucking radar.
Mm. It's so disgusting. Can we just all agree to disagree, or we can agree to agree that this is clearly a narcissistic personality?
Yeah. I would definitely say so.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
So what is the one thing that we would all say that any single mother who is co-parenting and finding it challenging, or at least particularly co-parenting with a narcissist, what is one piece of advice we would all give them? Eliana, do you want to go first?
Yeah, I would say educate yourself. Watch YouTube videos, podcasts, anything you can, even Instagram pages about co-parenting. Really educate yourself on, you know, certain terms like gaslighting, stuff like that. And just try and, like, reclaim your power by, like, shifting the focus to yourself, set some goals, work on your own life, on bettering yourself, and you'll get to a point where you're so at peace that these things won't affect you half as much as what they once did.
Yeah,
I couldn't agree more. I think the only thing that I would like to add to that is just, like, monitor your self-esteem, because I think these kinds of relationships,
you're going for self-esteem, that's why we were with him in the first place, because the self-esteem,
exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
Exactly. So with these kind of relationships, you need to realize that it's soul destroying. It minimizes you. It makes you feel like you are lesser than, like you are not important, like you are not who you were put out in this world to be. So just be conscious of that and keep fighting self-doubt, self-criticism, all of these things, because it really does get to you. It's a two-way street, especially when you're a parent. You have to keep yourself on guard, on form for your child.
Yeah.
But when you're dealing with a lot of these covert things, like, no one understands, no one's feeling it with you. So the only advice I would say to you know, single moms out there who are going through a similar situation, or who are a bit like, oh god, there's something shady, I don't really know what's happening, is prioritize your self-esteem and make sure that no matter what you do it with self-compassion, and you continuously just, like, allow yourself that space to know that it's okay, you're getting better, you're making improvements, and it will all change. That would be my...
That's nice.
And I think my advice as well is, like, very, very similar, leading off the back of that, is I think as parents, we want to be good co-parents for our child, and we're thinking a lot about our child, and we want our child to have a good relationship with that person. But when you're dealing with a narcissist, it is really, really testing for your mental health. And you as a parent, you as the parent that is the sole carer for that child, the child lives with you, your mental health is the most number one important thing. And I know that even though I want Tide to have a good relationship with his dad, and I feel like they do now, there was a time earlier on during a lot of crazy things, I did have to say, do you know what, if this keeps on continuing to this point, I will have to say, for the moment, you guys are going to have a break, because even the smallest amount of contact with you is so bad for my mental health that I've got to think about myself as a parent before I think about your relationship with our child. So that obviously is, like, you know, hopefully it doesn't get to that for other people, but just always take care of your mental health, like, number one.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree, you know, 100%.
But no, Eliana, it's been so nice having you on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you so much for coming on, and really excited to get this out and to share this insight with all the moms out there.
I really hope it helps someone.
It will.
And it's been like a therapy session. And again, anyone listening to this, like, message us. Like, we need to think about how, you know, if we was to take this forward, like, if people need a space to talk or
send us questions.
At our pages, so that if anyone wants to message us directly, then they can.
What's your account, Eliana?
Well, I've got my photography one and my personal one. So, I don't know.
What's your professional one?
At ELLEL Photography, L Photog London.
Great. And obviously everyone knows ours. It's at Sassy Mums, at Sassy _ Single Mums.
You had to think about that.
Don't flop. But there you go. It's at Sassy _Single Mums.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for coming on. It's been brilliant.
All right, speak to you soon.
Speak to you soon.
Bye.
Bye-bye.